Our witness of ancient wisdom today comes from Psalms 90, verses 1 through 6 and 10 through 12. Mother of the mountains, you have been our refuge from one generation to another. Before the mountains were born, or you writhed the land and the earth into birth, from age to age you are God. You turn mortal flesh back to dust and say, turn back, you are woman born. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past and like a watch in the night. You sweep them aside. They are an illusion. In the morning flourishing and in the evening wilting and weathering. In the morning it is green and flourishes. In the evening is dried up and withered. The span of our life is 70 years, perhaps in strength even 80. Yet the sum of them is not but labor and sorrow, for they pass away quickly and we are gone. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. The witness of modern wisdom is from Stephen King. May we make up horrors. We make up horrors to help us cope with the real ones. God is still spooking and we are still listening. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sue. Will you pray with me? Merciful God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our help and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning, we stand at the crossroads between two worlds, the sacred and the spooky. It's a time when the boundary lines between the living and the departed is believed to be the thinnest, a time when ghouls and ghosts parade our streets in disguise. And as people of progressive Christian faith, I believe this is a time when we are invited to reflect on the significance of this season, which traces its roots back to the 8th century and perhaps even more ancient Celtic celebrations of life, death, and rebirth at the season's change. But first, I want to extend a heartfelt thank you to our faith formation directors, to Crystal and Heather, and all of our dedicated volunteers, some of you here in this room, who participated in our Hillsborough Downtown Trunk or Treat event. And I want to say, let's not forget all those who donated all of that delicious candy, so thank you. The weather was beautiful, not a little cold. The costumes were amazing. We have a truly beautiful and diverse community, and it felt really good to be there with our rainbow pride progress car magnets saying a just world for all, sharing smiles and handing out candy. This year, my costume was Waldo from the Where's Waldo books. People kept saying, hey, I found you. And it was pretty funny until about the third time someone came as the Grim Reaper came by and said, hey, I found you. It started to get a little spooky. With all the skulls and skeletons, tombstones and zombies, I was thinking Halloween has this charming way of subtly reminding us of these three important lessons of life. That one, I am alive today. Two, I might not be alive tomorrow. But three, a little humor sure helps us cope with the reality of our mortality. Now we are winding down our study of the women's lectionary, but in recent weeks we've been reading through the Hebrew scriptures around stories focused on the person of David, especially the stories of the women surrounding this king who is so important to our history. In our Bible study, we read the latest episode of David's saga from 1 Kings chapter 1, and it's the end of King David's life. It opens by saying that David was now old, advancing in days, so although they covered him with clothes, he did not get warm. I was thinking I could kind of relate this weekend. But despite the great efforts of his servants to revive this king, to bring him back some life and some vigor, And there are great efforts. You'll have to read the text about it. But it's clear to everyone except him that he is dying. He is nearing the end of his life. I suppose after years of people saying, "The king, may he live forever," I guess after a while you might start to believe that might be possible. That maybe you are immortal. Perhaps it's just a case of life happens when you're making other plans, but David seems to be in denial of this simple truth, that he will not live forever. Death is, in fact, coming for him, but he's made no real succession plan, which leaves those around him scrambling to ensure their legacy and his. In the leadership vacuum that's created, one of his sons from another of his wives, Adonijah, son of Haggith, makes a move to take the aging king's throne. Were it not for the intervention of Bathsheba, her son Solomon might never have assumed the throne or become king, and we would not have the Song of Solomons to make us blush in confirmation class. Our other reading from the Psalms also speaks to the brevity of life. After recounting the power of God, the God who gives birth to the mountains and creates all things, and then is so everlasting that God oversees all mortal flesh turning back to dust. We read in chapter 90, verse 10, "The span of our lives is 70 years, perhaps in strength even 80. They pass away quickly and we are gone." Well, the members of our Bible study responded, "Well, gee, thanks." Many of them who are in their 70s and 80s. As they say, age is a simple issue of mind over matter. If you don't mind getting older, it really doesn't matter, right? Well, I'm told that a healthy sense of humor is a key to living a long and satisfying life. I believe it to be true. Whereas some of us may harbor illusions of our own immortality, most of us are, in fact, all too aware of the brevity of life, both our own and those that we care about. And these days, we need only turn on the news to hear reports of the brevity of life, of another war with casualties now numbering in the thousands, of a mass shooting, now the 565th in our country this year. Real life is full of horrors that unfortunately we cannot turn off or close the book on. Which is why I agree with Stephen King's observation. We invent fictional horrors to help us cope with the horrors of real life, horrors we can't escape, we can't control. We scare ourselves for fun to help us cope with the things that really and truly make us afraid. In Psalm 90, the psalmist concludes by saying, "Teach us to number our days, that we might gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days. If we were to learn that simple yet profound lesson, what a difference it might make in our world, in our lives. If we numbered our days, might our wars seem a little less important? Might we feel a little more urgency to make meaningful changes to laws and policies to protect life? Might we reorder our own individual lives? One of our Bible study members shared this story from the news of the actor Jeremy Renner. Jeremy Renner is best known perhaps as playing Hawkeye in Marvel's Avengers. Well, last year he had a terrible accident at his home in Nevada where he was trying to help get a car out of a snowdrift, and he had his own snowplow, and somehow it moved by itself and he tried to get in and stop it, and he was crushed by his snowplow, breaking over 30 bones in his body. Doctors weren't sure that he was going to make it, that he would survive. And thankfully, he has been healing over the last 9 months and is gradually coming back to health. But he said in a recent interview, "I just feel very blessed and very lucky to be upright and to walk around and to live life. And I'm very, very clear. My life is really, really lean, if that makes sense. There's no fat in my life anymore. I don't have time for that." So there's something really beautiful about having that superpower. It is sobering to confront our own mortality. What I love about Halloween is, in its own special way, it invites us to do that and yet leaves us with a smile. With grim reapers walking around with capes and scythes and costume plague masks, we remind ourselves that we can, in fact, laugh in the face of death, that we can confront our fears and find a unique and cathartic way to cope with the inevitability of death. Halloween is a time when we make light of our fears, transforming the macabre into the merry and turning fear into fun. Beneath the costumes and the candy, there's a profound lesson for us as people of faith. It's a reminder that we have the capacity to confront our deepest fears and insecurities, to face the shadowy places within ourselves and in our world, and emerge on the other side with a sense of empowerment and even joy. In the Christian tradition, we have a deep, profound story. We have the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the promise of new life in Christ. These show us that even in the face of our ultimate fear, there is reason for hope and renewal and transformation. And Halloween, in its own simple way, carries a similar message. It reminds us that we can mock death and find joy in the midst of fear, that we're not alone, that we have the promise of renewal, the power of community, and the strength of our faith to sustain us on life's journey. I shared in our pub theology the other week that I did not grow up in a branch of Christianity that allowed me to celebrate Halloween. That was the devil's playground over there. But I believe we can and we should embrace the spirit of this holiday as part of our faith. I believe Halloween is an opportunity for us to look around, to meet our neighbors, to build empathy and understanding for others who might be very different from us, to create community through generosity and joy, and even transform the horrors in our world into a force for good. You know what I noticed about yesterday as we handed out candy is that it wasn't just people who looked like me or prayed or spoke in the same way that I do. It was this beautiful, diverse array of people. People from all backgrounds, of class and race and gender, ability, religious experience. And in this time, this season in our country of such incredible polarization, I thought, well, here is something that still unites us. Costumes and candy. Let's start there. Let's start there. Let's start with bringing joy to young and old. I know in the light of this week and all of the news we've seen, I know there are deeply serious things that we are concerned about. I know that there are those who fear, whose fear of death is far more real than I can imagine. I don't mean to make light of all that's going on in our world in this moment, but I do mean to bring light to the joy that is present in the world still here today, lest we be overcome by the grief that surrounds us. As we approach Halloween and All Saints' Day, as we grapple with the realities of life and death, let us not only laugh in the face of it, but let us learn to number our days rightly. Let us consider how this holiday can be a reminder of our faith's core message. Let us remember, even in the faith of In the face of life's most profound challenges and fears, we are called to love to hope and to transform the world through our actions, through simple acts of kindness and compassion, generosity and joy, co-creating beloved community with God and one another. May this season be a time for reflection, for joy, and deeper connection with our communities and the profound mystery that is this life. Amen.